Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Give the Lord a great praise, everybody. Would you please, for all His goodness to us? Amen. Thank you so much. You're so kind. You can be seated. Man, I tell you what, now this is a big difference from the last church. You know, everybody squeezed in, standing around the walls, can't get in, can't get out, you know. I've told this story before. When I used to come over here and preach, Dino would say, you have 18 minutes in this service, you got 20 minutes. I said, Dino, I can't get my name out in 18 minutes. Well, we used to have such a, and this is wonderful. Give God a hand for this completion of this facility. So beautiful. The only thing I regret is Pastor Dino is not with us. And before the incident which has happened, the tragedy, I call it a tragedy off the coast here, the Gulf, this meeting was booked. And when everything began to develop the way it did, I knew that it was the Lord to send me here. And I asked Dino for permission to share with you tonight what the Lord showed me on the month of July of 2007. And we're going to get into that in just a few moments. Other than just sharing with you, if you watch, we have some material here. I'll let them do that at the end of the service, if that's okay. But if you watch the Manifest program, we ask the gentleman to bring some of our material with us so that you who watch our program, if you would like to get some of that, the tables are out there. That's all I'm going to say about that because we want to get right into the Word of the Lord. How many of you have a Bible? Got your Bible with you? The book of Job, chapter 33, Job, chapter 33. If you'll turn there with me, please, we're going to read a verse of Scripture. And for the next few moments, we're going to talk about the meaning and the purpose of seeing the future. The meaning and the purpose of seeing the future. In Job chapter 33, there is a lot of nuggets in the book of Job that aren't often taught or preached on, and this is one of them. And it really gives you some very powerful instruction on why God gives you a dream or a vision. Job 33, 14 through 18. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. In order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. You have ears. And there's something odd about in the middle of the night, you can actually go into a sleep to where you cannot hear noise around you unless it's loud. It has to be a certain decibel level. And so the Bible teaches that you have spiritual ears. In the book of Revelation, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And like you have natural ears that can hear me speak, in the middle of the night, you have spiritual ears. That while your natural ears are not hearing, this verse says your spiritual ears can be open. There are five reasons God speaks in a vision or a dream. A dream basically is what happens to you, and it's like you're watching a picture. Sometimes you're in it and you're acting it out, but you're seeing it happen. A vision, on the other hand, is full color, three-dimensional. You can feel the wind. You can smell the flowers. It's totally a bump up level from a dream. A vision can happen both when you're sleeping and when you're awake. When you're awake, it's called an open vision. It's like a flash of a picture that occurs. A dream always occurs when you're sleeping. In other words, you can daydream, but that's not the type of dreaming we're talking about if it's a spiritual dream from God. Here's the reason, five reasons God speaks in a vision or a dream. Number one is to reveal instruction. God revealed to Abimelech in the Old Testament in a dream not to take Sarah because it was actually Abraham's wife in the book of Genesis. Number two is to put us in God's will. We discover, for example, that men of the Old Testament would receive an angelic visitation of where they should be, where they should go to get in the will of God. Number three is to prevent pride from leading us astray. Pride from leading us astray. King Herod had set up with the wise men for them to come back and tell him where baby Jesus was born. The wise men were warned in a dream not to go back because it was a setup. So Herod was filled with pride, and God was letting the wise men not fall into a trap that Herod had set. Number four, this is very important, to keep us from dying lost, or as the Bible says, going down into the pit. Cornelius was visited by an angel of God who set him up that his entire family could be saved in Acts chapter 10. That's an example. And number five, this is important, to prevent us from perishing prematurely. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it said, "Why shouldest you die before the time?" I've often said it is possible that people can take their, can do things, maybe it's addictions or wrong place at the wrong time, and they can actually leave their life, leave this life prematurely when it wasn't the exact perfect time of God. So what happens is God warns you about visions or dreams so that your life will not end prematurely. When Joseph was told by the angel in the dream, take the mother and the infant and go to Egypt, it was for the protection of the baby because Herod was on a rampage killing all infants under 2 years of age in an area called Ramah, which is a 10-mile radius of Bethlehem. Jesus would have been killed had he not obeyed the dream. So in the book of Job 33:14-18, these are various reasons why God speaks to a person in a dream. Now, it's very clear, and I want to make this clear as we talk about this, that the Bible gives us the covenant. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to walk. It tells us how to treat people. It's filled with promises of hope that if we obey the word, here's what God will do for us. However, have you ever thought about how many things are not specifically told you in the Bible? Did the Bible tell you who to marry? All it said was, marry a believer. Did the Bible tell you where to work? Did the Bible tell you what your occupation should be? Did the Bible tell you buy that house or don't buy that house? The answer is no. Those things are discovered in Romans 8 by praying in the Spirit and finding the mind of God. Now, the reason I say that to you is for this reason. There are things that are going to happen in the earth. Things that are going to be affect entire states or cities or nations that are not listed specifically in the Bible other than in a general term. For example, the Bible never said anything about 9/11. Now, it does talk about the towers falling, but that doesn't necessarily refer to 9/11. The Bible did not tell us there would be a tsunami in Indonesia, but it did say the sea and the waves would be roaring and men's hearts would fail them for fear. So it gives you a general prediction, but it doesn't always tell you where that prediction is going to happen. It doesn't even tell you when it's going to happen. It just says, be looking for this to take place. Now, having said that, this is why it is important for you to understand. I want you to look at your neighbor and say this. God still speaks to me today. And God does speak. And there's different ways God speaks. He speaks by the word. He speaks by the Holy Spirit. He speaks by the vocal gifts. He speaks by inward nudges. He speaks by the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us by visions and dreams. Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2 both tell us that in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. And upon my servants and my handmaids in those days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit. You have to understand something, that when we get to the time of the end, there's going to be an increase in visions and dreams. And the reason there's going to be an increase in visions and dreams is your Bible tells you that is the Holy Spirit who shows you things to come, John 16:13. So any time in history where you have a movement of the Holy Spirit coming on people, check it out in your Bible, you always have an increase of prophetic vision. This is why the Bible said, and the Spirit of God came upon Isaiah, and the Spirit of God came upon Ezekiel, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jeremiah. It takes the Spirit of God coming upon these men, and this is why the Bible said holy men of God wrote the Bible as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit of God is the revelator. The Spirit of God knows the future. The Spirit of God knows what's coming. So this is important you understand this. You are going to hear of people who are going to see more things and have dreams that are going to come from God. Let me just say to you that probably 98% of what you dream was the beans you ate last night. Or the pizza you had late. Because a lot of dreams are not from the Lord. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? A lady said one time to my dad, Brother Stone, I had a dream that everybody in the church had a cabbage head. What do you think it meant? He said, sister, it meant that you had too much before you went to bed to eat. That's what it meant. But when it comes to a major spiritual dream, listen to what the Bible says in Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord does nothing except he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So when you understand this, that it is the will of God to reveal things before they happen. And this has always intrigued me. Why does God want to show us things before they happen? What's the purpose of it? Well, first of all, let's consider this. There is a gift of interpreting Scripture. Would you agree with me that there are some people that can just open up the Bible and they start preaching and teaching? You say, oh, wow, why didn't I see that? Oh, wow, why didn't I? That's been there all along. Anybody ever done that besides me? There's people who have a gift of revelation. Paul calls it revelation in the New Testament, not the book of Revelation, but the unveiling of truth. It's a gift. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes when you have it, it's easy to find things in the Word of God and preach it. When you don't have it, you got to dig a little deeper. Anybody ever been there? You know. Now, the second thing you need to understand is there is a gift of seeing the future. These in the Bible, they're called prophets. Another word is a seer. It's a person that taps into the realm of the spirit or the spirit realm, and God opens up their ear at night or the eyes of their understanding while they were asleep many times and begins to reveal things to them. And this can happen to both men and women. Joel 2 says servants and handmaidens. That's men and women. It can happen to young. It can also happen to old. So there's no age limit when I talk about God speaking to you and showing you things. And number three, this is important, that the Holy Spirit has vocal gifts. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, in which he can reveal things through the vocal gifts. Now look at your neighbor one more time and say this. God still speaks today. Now look at somebody beside you and say, are you listening? Because there's your key. He is speaking, but are we taking time to really listen? Now, in my lifetime, and I'm going to go into this for just a moment, but in my lifetime, my father would always receive a warning dream. Now, my dad was so close to the Lord, and I mean this sincerely, that if anybody in my church, our church, went out and sinned secretly, he would see it. We didn't have a big church, to be honest with you. I'm being as honest as I can. He called an elder up one night and said, well, you were with that woman in that red Lincoln Continental parked behind the Kroger store, and here's the license number. And the guy totally freaked out. He said, preacher, were you there? He said, no, but the Holy Ghost was. And he literally, and you know, God didn't do that to embarrass the man. God did it to save his soul. When I grew up, I could not sin. If I would go out and try to sin, my dad would say, son, I had a dream last night. I'm thinking, oh, God, I'd hang my head low, God. And I got aggravated at the Lord one time. I said, would you please quit talking to my dad? This is aggravating me. I can't go do anything without my dad seeing that I went and did this thing. I mean, he'd have some weird dream, you know. And so I'm thinking to myself, but you know, I look back on that now, and I thank God that I had a father who was close enough to God to help protect my soul. Come on, not just the church members, but to protect my soul. But you know, we used to tease dad, no, not in a bad way. But we used to tease him because he would have dreams and it would be a warning dream. He'd dream of a car wreck and lo and behold, the car wreck would happen. He would dream of this. And I'd say to him, one day I said, can you dream anything good? I told him, I said, every time you dream something, it's a warning. It's a warning. It's a warning. All right. Well, when I got called to preach, the same things start happening to me where I would see things that were going to happen that were bad. And my wife, I'm just telling you, my wife, she teases me a little bit about this. She says she never has to watch the news because she gets a report when I come home. She says, I never watch. You ever watch Fox? No, I never watch it. Why? Perry watches it all day long, tells me what's going on. And we were talking one day, and it's really strange because I have a 20-year-old son, and he's starting to have dreams. And Pam laughed at him the other day and said, the very thing you've never liked about your dad's coming on you. How you like that? And he does. He has dreams that have meanings, and it's pretty remarkable. But I have to be careful because there was a time when I started seeing things, and sometimes it would be a good thing, and sometimes it would be a warning, and I would be a little upset. God, can you show me something good? Give me a word. Then I started reading about these guys in the Bible. Now, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to equate myself to them. But I read like Jeremiah started telling them the Babylonians are coming, and they got mad and wanted to kill him. Well, I've had some pretty rough dreams and visions, but I ain't had nobody try to kill me yet over them. You know what I'm saying? And I'd read about Isaiah and some of these guys, and I'd realize this is what they dealt with. They dealt with the fact it's like Jeremiah got so mad at the Lord one day. He said, I'm going in there and telling them all these warnings. They're mocking me, making fun of me, wanting me to shut my mouth, and I ain't saying nothing else. So what you think of that? Then a few verses later, he said, I was going to keep my mouth shut, but it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I just can't keep my mouth shut. I gotta go back over there and talk to him. See, so we're going to get into some things tonight in the next few moments that relate to you personally in this area. First of all, let me say something to you. Why does God give us warnings? This is very important. I set the foundation before we talk about this. It is never to scare you, but it is to prepare you. God never gives you a warning to freak you out. He gives you a warning to say, okay, we see this is happening. What do we do as a family or an individual to be prepared and not be caught up in some kind of weird panic that other people may have? Number two, he reveals warnings to reveal his purposes to his people. I mean, wouldn't it be awful if the Lord was going to allow something major to happen but never told his own people? And him say, oh, I meant to tell you that, but I forgot. I mean, what kind of a Lord would that be that would allow us all to be caught up in something that we were unprepared for? Number three, to reveal that he is real and he alone knows what will occur. And also, number four, he reveals things in advance to let the world know that he is God and there is no God like him. You say, where's that at? Here it is. He says in Isaiah chapter 46, declaring the end and the result from the beginning and from ancient times, the things which are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure and purpose. Then he says this. I love this verse here. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass, because I knew that thou art an obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew. He was telling Israel, you're just a bunch of stiff-necked people, he said, and your brow is like brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I showed it to you, lest you should say, mine idol has done this, and my graven image and my molten image has commanded them. Hast thou heard? See all of this, and will not declare it? I have showed you new things from this time, even hidden things that you did not know. So God is simply saying, I'm letting you know what's going to happen, so when it happens, you'll know I'm God. So prophecy, for you that are new in the Lord, prophecy is about the testimony of Jesus. It's about God pre-writing the headlines. That's how you prove the Bible is real, and that's how you prove God has spoken, is if it comes to pass. Now, I'm very careful in doing this, because if I were with a whole group of partners, we have 10,000 partners, they would receive this and understand it. And I'm careful because when I talk about God showing me something, I don't want anybody to think I'm pointing to me, because I really don't know why God ever showed me any of this stuff. I didn't ask him for it. I didn't pray about it. The only thing I could say is it's a gift. I said I didn't pray about it the other day. I was talking to a group of preachers and I laughed. I said, well, maybe I did. I prayed for 2 years when I was 17 and 18 to have the spirit of Daniel on me in the Bible. So I said, maybe I did pray it on me. I don't know. But anyway, I love Daniel. And let me just share with you, since 1988, and I'm going to go through this in about 5 minutes, some things that the Lord showed me. And our partners are aware of this. My wife is sitting over here. She can verify this. I've got my office manager here tonight, Charlie Ellis. He can verify all of this, that this is not after the fact. This is before it happened. God showed me the property that we built on, showed me the television ministry 12 years before we went on, gave me the name Manifest in February of 1988 in Zephyr Hills, Florida, at an all-night prayer meeting, and said it would be the name of my television program, but the television program didn't come into existence till 12 years later. In fact, the Lord told me, he said, take the name and don't tell it publicly because someone will take it from you. And Brother Rod Parsley was sharing with me the other day. He said, Perry, your program, Manifest, the way it looks, Manifest, he said, it's the greatest title for a Christian program that's on television. And I think it is. It speaks of what the program is about. God, by the way, spoke to me audibly another name that's going to be a band, a youth band that we're going to have. And it is the coolest name, and I ain't about to tell nobody. Amen. Not that you take it, but I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. My little girl, Pam will remember this, I had a vision of a little girl, and she told me her name was Amanda. I told what she was going to look like, what her hair would look like, her personality, and this was in 1988, and 12 years later, that little girl was born, and her name was Amanda, and that's the name she gave me in the dream. In 1988, she was born 12 years later. Many of you will remember, if you've kept up with our ministry, and we were here in Baton Rouge after 9/11, you saw the pictures from 1999 that the artist drew of the Trade Center shrouded in black and the five gray tornadoes coming off of them, and the Lord really showed me that. I didn't know what that was, by the way, before it happened, but he showed me the 9/11 attack and what would happen and how it would affect the economy. And most of you who are, let's say, older in the Lord, you will remember us coming to Baton Rouge after 9/11 showing those. Does anybody remember that, by the way? Okay, just checking. And that's also in one of our books, that we placed that in one of our books. We saw 2 years ago massive flooding. I saw a building where it was like it was a bank, actually, and there were people here, and there was a school, a public school over here. And we were coming through a public school, and Pam and I had gotten in a bus, and we were driving. And in between the bank and the public school was an ocean of water. Now, when I say an ocean, it wasn't a lake. It was like the ocean where the waves come in, and people had their hands tied. They were underwater, and their hands were over their head. And I kept saying, they're underwater, they're underwater. What does this mean? Then the Lord showed me, and I told my wife about this, a flood that was so devastating that it took a complete mall out. It took a whole area of a city out. It took the houses out. It took the gas stations out. And it was about a year later when the Nashville flood took place. And I never knew, I'm honest with you, for weeks that the Nashville flood was as bad as it was. Took out the Opryland, area of Opryland, took out the Opryland Mall, which is one of the greatest malls in the state of Tennessee. Did all kinds of damage. And so when you see things like this, unless you know the place, you simply know what God showed you. And I remember I was praying, Lord, whoever these people are, help them. I don't know what this is about. I also saw, and I might get into this at the end of the message only if it fits, but this has not happened yet. I saw two spinning nuclear cooling towers. This one was as clear as anything. After the towers started spinning, I saw the stock market represented by bulls with horns completely go out. The stock market just died. And I really believe this has reference to, and I still will say it publicly. I'm not afraid to say it publicly, but I had this years ago, and I believe it's going to be an attack that either Israel or Israel combined with the United States is going to do on Iran's nuclear facilities. And I had the vision before I ever knew that Ahmadinejad was building the nuclear and trying to get a nuclear bomb and things. And I think that one will happen in the future. This is the one, however, that I asked Dino for permission to share with you. And it simply is called the oil tornado. Now, I do not bring the original papers with me because I have lost original papers that I would give anything to have back that were handwritten by people and things of this nature. So what I did, I copied, and I was actually going to put this on the screen, but let me explain to you why I did not. I'm going to show you that it's two pages. This is a copy of the actual vision that I had. I'll tell you the date right here. There are two parts of this. One is personal about my son, and the other is about an incident of a couple that will be killed that I'm not going to call their name, but they've already been put under heavy, heavy security because the man who is world known, I sent him a letter about this 2 years ago, and they just called me and said, because of the vision, they've just put his mother and dad under complete security because he remembered your vision. Now, if I told you, it would blow your mind who the man is, but he's a world leader. And I saw them in this vision say that his parents had been killed at the fifth tornado as it went into there. And so I felt led to contact him through a friend. I can't contact him personally. But anyway, that's why I did not put this up, because if I put it on a screen, I know you digital guys. You'll take it home and you'll blow it up and you'll read it. And really, it's quite difficult to read. On Thursday, July 2007 at 12:30, I had a complete, full-color, three-dimensional vision, just as real as I'm looking at you. This vision occurred in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Some of you who have watched my manifest telecast have heard me tell this without telling the place. The reason I never told the place was because I knew my secretaries would get thousands of emails and calls wanting more information. And I just didn't have the clarity on the information. And I said, I can't tell. And only, in fact, it was about a year later before I ever mentioned it. I was off the coast of Louisiana And I never wanted to say Baton Rouge because we have a lot of partners and friends down here, and I really waited. So finally, at my partners' conference, I told them about 2 years ago in May, I think it was, or so, I told them where it was and the details, and they were the first ones to hear it. Also, so you will know, brother, the brother that was in Australia, would you stand up just to verify this? I called Dino. What year was it? Was it 2 years ago about when he was in Australia? I called Dino 2 years ago and told this entire vision. Would you raise your hand if that's true? Did Dino relate that to you? He related that to you. Brother, stand up over here. Just so I'm only doing this to verify that this is not after the fact. This was before. Okay. I'm going to tell you tonight in detail what God showed me in July of 2007. My hair is standing on end right now. I'm telling you. We were in this vision, I was dropped into the city of Baton Rouge, and I was at Christian Life Fellowship, which is one of the first churches I preached in, the first church in Baton Rouge, with Dr. Jerry Mullally. Is Dr. Mullally here? Someone said he may be here tonight. I don't know. I'd like to honor him. He's a great man, and he was the first guy to pastor to ever have me. Let's give Doc a hand. I appreciate him a lot. I mean that. There's a couple, and we will not name them, that we stay with when we are in this area. And I was unloading an SUV, and I happened to have that SUV now. I was getting some clothes out, and I turned this way, and Doc was standing there. And Doc had made a statement to me. He asked me about that I have a prophetic word of what was about to happen. And I turned to him and said, Doc, you're not going to believe what's about to happen down here. At that moment, a tornado dropped completely out of the sky on a clear day. Now, when I have these tornado dreams on a clear day, it means a sudden storm, a sudden problem that's going to happen very quick. So at that point, I remember turning, and Doc was with me, and I said, now, people are going to have to find some kind of shelter from this. Where can we go? As we're walking, the scene changes, and I'm at there's an 18-wheeler truck. One whole side of the 18-wheeler truck has been removed, and there's plastic on it. Plastic, okay? When I go inside, there's only a few clothes in there. For some reason, there were clothes, but it was basically empty. And I remember trying to pin the plastic down, thinking that I didn't want this storm to devastate the rest of this truck. So I knew that that represented not all trucks going out, but it was going to the truck lines, whatever these truck lines were involved with, half of it was going to be out to where it wasn't going to be functioning. And I knew that. I said, what's this got to do? What does this have to do with this? Then I'm going to try to get this in the order that I recall it, because there's different parts on here and I've got to put it all back together for you. The next thing happened was and this is where it gets really bizarre as we go along. I was standing then, and there were five people lying on the ground, and they were none of them dead, but they had artificial scars. Now, what I'm about to tell you is very important and significant. And they were looking, and they were saying, help us. You won't believe the damage that we've gone through because of this storm. Look at that. Look what it did to my hand. And I looked, and it was plastic. It wasn't real. They said, look, my feet. Now, this is, you work with your hands. You work with your feet. They're pointing to their feet and hands. And there were five of them. Now, I don't understand why five, other than there were five tornadoes, and I always felt it would eventually affect five states. If it affects five states, Texas will be next with a hurricane or something. That'll be the fifth state, okay? I'm not predicting that. God didn't tell me that, but I'm saying if the five people represent five states. A lady said to me, she stopped and she says, listen to me carefully. When the big tornado comes, there will be a lot of people that will fake like they need help, and they don't. And she says, they're even going to go to churches begging for help. And they're going to say, I need help. You need to help me. We don't have this. We don't have that. But they have it, but they're going to try to milk the system to get as much as they can out of it. And they really don't need help. And this is what she told me. This is what I told Dino that day. She said, tell the churches that there will be some people in their churches that truly need help. Tell the churches to help their people first. The ones that have been the tithers and the givers and the ones that have been supportive, you tell the local churches, focus only at first on those, because they're going to have to be able to discern, come on, who really needs it versus people that say, hey, man, I can really get something out of this. Now, that did not make sense to me, but I think some of you can understand what the lady was saying, whoever that lady was. I think you can see it without me explaining it further. We then, Doc is with me at this point, and we go into a restaurant. don't know where this restaurant is, but it had a lot of wood, and it was a fine seafood restaurant, And the thing is packed with people, and I'm saying, the storm is coming, guys. You guys have got to get ready. The storm is coming. And I remember, now, don't ask me why. I think there's significance to this down the road, but not right now. But I ran into the men's restroom, and I went into the stall, and I stood there and waited, and I heard the shaking of the restaurant. When it's over, and there's more details to this that the reason I don't get into details until I understand them further. Do you understand? Because I don't want to say something and have everybody go in five different directions with it. The restaurant is totally empty. Now, no storm is damaging a building, which shows me it's not a normal hurricane. It's not a normal tornado. The building is totally intact, and the restaurant's totally empty. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, what's happened to the people? They're not cooking any food back there. And I mean, I just got in there, and it was full. Now I'm coming out, and there's nobody. So I'm saying to myself, what is this about? So by that time, I walk into a room, and Pastor Dino is there, and Rusty is there. Now, you got to understand what freaks me out about this is what I'm about to tell you about Rusty. Rusty, stand up just in case folks don't know you. There's a lot of new folks here. Most of you from Dino's church know Rusty. Rusty is a missionary. Rusty was living in Austin, Texas when I had this vision. Now, listen to me. But when I had the vision, he was working with Dino in Baton Rouge. Rusty moved back to Baton Rouge from Austin. When did you do that? How long ago was that? Year and a half ago. Now, you understand? You get what I just said? It made no sense for me to see Rusty and Dino together because Rusty is in Austin, Texas. And I told my staff, this tornado will not hit till Rusty goes back to Baton Rouge. When my staff knew that Rusty was moving back, two of my secretaries said, please tell him not to move back to Baton Rouge. Said, as long as he stays, I said, look, guys, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I mean, you know, that's what stunned me is he was here with Dino in Baton Rouge when the tornado hit. Dino and I got under a covering. There was a covering, and every time a storm would hit, and how many know who the covering is? Talk to me, somebody. Your covering is Christ. Your covering is your faith in the Word. And we were, as long as we were under that covering, we were protected. So that tornado hit. When that tornado hit, I never will forget, this was as clear as I'm looking at you guys. When that tornado hit, I saw an old town of mom and pop shops. Wasn't a big city. Now, I'm not telling you it was Baton Rouge because I don't think it was Baton Rouge because I didn't see skyscrapers behind it. But all the mom and pop shops were shut down completely. Now, I'm thinking to myself, what is shutting down businesses? What is going to shut down restaurants? What is going to shut down trucks where some of the trucks will no longer have business? Are you listening? What's going to shut down mom and pop shops? And by this time, I'm saying, okay, I'm in the middle of this thing, and I'm saying, okay, we've seen a mall that was shopping. Those people were at a mall, but they were asking for help. And I'm saying, and a voice had talked to me in the third one and said, you'll see five. You're going to see five, and the fifth one's the biggest. Mm. There are some things that happen in between. That's when my wife appeared, my daughter appeared, my son appeared. An incident with my son, and I don't want to go into detail about that because I've already told him about this and we really are praying for him about this incident that I saw in this vision. And here was the big one. All of a sudden, and it's really odd that Pastor Dino is with us all the way to the last one. All of a sudden, we are standing at the Gulf of Mexico, and it's on the paper. And I look from Baton Rouge this way, and I see the biggest oil tornado you could imagine. It's black oil. It is not refined. And all of a sudden, I heard it. And you could just, the power of this thing, it started out, and it got wider and wider and wider, and I never will forget, it started low at the bottom, you know, like a normal one, but the further it went, it got wide, 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 and it hit an oil rig. When it hit the oil rig, something happened that didn't make sense to me till about 2 weeks ago or so, maybe a little longer. That black tornado was throwing oil on the water, on the Gulf, just throwing it, everywhere you go, just throwing it, just like a normal tornado would throw papers or dust, right? Then all of a sudden, when it hit the rig, I heard a sound. And the top of that tornado, can you all see this? Can anybody zoom in close enough to see this right here? It looks like a T. I drew this out that night, right there. The top of this was what I saw, and there was a little pipe connected here at the bottom. Let me tell you about the top of this. When the tornado turned toward me, the top went like it was falling toward, in other words, it was coming toward the coast. We're on the coast, right? It's coming toward the coast. And the top of it turned into a round piece of steel with bolts on it. And I said, oh my, they're going to cap a rig. They're going to have to cap a rig. What would happen with... Now, wait a minute. In the dream, I'm thinking, if we go to war with Iran, we're not going to shut off our oil. Surely that would be the Strait of Hormuz that would be shut off, not here. Why would we cap a rig? Why would they want to do that? Here's the part that blew me away, heavier than anything. On the 41st day, I'm watching Fox News, and you know, you keep seeing the picture of the pipe that's broken, the oil's coming out of the pipe. So they take a saw and cut it. They then took one picture that was on Drudge Report, and I went to the news and saw it. Of the top, where the oil is pouring out of, it's a round piece of steel with bolts in it. And where the oil is coming up like a tornado, have you seen it? It's coming out of that. And what God was showing me, I thought that I kept looking for a round cap. I said, there's going to be a big round thing with bolts all over it, and they're going to slip it down. That's what I saw that. But it wasn't the cap I saw. What God was showing me is, as the oil hits the rig, there's damage there, and it's going to come toward the coastline of Louisiana, okay? And odd, I haven't even looked at this on a map, but we were in Baton Rouge here, and we're looking at this angle. We're not looking toward Texas. We're looking at that way. And I specifically told people, it's almost like I was looking either toward Venezuela or out in the ocean that way from where we were standing. And that's when, I want you to hear me, that's when all of a sudden the voice said, this is the big one. And everything you've seen is a result of this. Now, about that time, we all got under our covering and we began to pray. And I want to get to that in just a moment, but I want to show you a couple things here. It's very important. On page 2 of this, I called Dino. In fact, I got so burdened, I told my secretary, you got to get a hold of Dino Russo. I've got to tell somebody in Baton Rouge what I've seen, because this is bothering me not telling it. So I called Dino, and Dino called me back. I'll have to get my dates on this, but there had been a hurricane hit this area, and the power was out in Baton Rouge. Does anybody remember that? All right. Zoom in right here, right there, as close as you can. All right. See if we can get that. That's good cameras. Okay, can you see updated January? No. Did I say January? January 22nd, 2009. Now, I'm going to read to you what's on that paper. Note. Baton Rouge was struck with a hurricane. I can't even read my own writing. That knocked out power for 2 weeks. Dino said it was like... it was like the tribulation. Man, it was hairy. You can hear him say that, can't you? Now listen to this next statement. This, however, was not this vision. When Dino called me and he said, Perry, I'm so glad you called and warned me. I said, Dino, that ain't what I saw. That ain't the big one. It may have been a preview. Now, I wrote this down. Also, Rusty was living in Austin, Texas at the time of this dream, but now, 09, lives in Baton Rouge working with Dino. Updated January 22nd, 2009. Now, I have no doubt in my mind, because when the oil rig burned and it collapsed, can I tell you the truth? I mean, I thought, man, how bad? But I didn't think much of it beyond that, because I thought that's a terrible incident. God help these families that have lost their lives. But I'm preaching and I'm going, and people start calling me, Perry, your tornado vision. Perry, your oil vision. And I'm telling you, it took me 4 days for it to click. So I start watching this thing pour out, and it looks like a little tornado under the water, a black oil. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Now, look at the progression. Oil along that coast, a affects the truck lines delivering seafood. Are you seeing it? The restaurants that are the seafood restaurants. Talk to me, somebody. The mom and pop shops in those little areas, you know, the inlets. I've been to Venice. I know all those, even your hotels, your business in general. There are many people who need help, but you know like I do, guys. Come on. That there will be folks who are going to take advantage of this that maybe still have their business going and still are able to function, but they're going to take advantage. And that's what the woman showed me in that. Now, this is where I want to pause for a moment because I'm going to take you in just a second. No, let me take you there now. There's nothing like this that happens without God knowing that there is a purpose. You can't have anything that affects a state or a nation without there being a purpose. Let me give you some quick examples. The war in Iraq. People still blame President Bush for going to Iraq. But let me tell you something. The Kurds in the north had not one Christian church until the U.S. troops got there. Now there's 12 big churches in the north. Is it worth those people coming to Jesus? Of course. Look at the country of Iran. Right now, they tell me that there's 50% of the population in Iran that's under 30 years of age that are sick and tired of fanatical Islam. And a lot of them using the internet go online, and a lot of them are either secret believers or they're looking at Christianity. So here we go again. The situation looks negative of what will happen, but there's something going on behind the... Listen, when the tsunami struck, missionaries will tell you that Banda Aceh and some of these islands, they were where the strongest Islamic fanatics were. The fanatics had burnt down 600 Christian churches and had beheaded teenage girls who were having prayer meetings. Literally cut their heads off and left them there. This had happened before the tsunami struck. When the tsunami hit... This one village that wiped everything out, a group of women were in a house. This is a true story. I've got the pictures. They were in a house, and they said, oh, God. They looked out, and they said that it looked like the head of a cobra with that wave coming in, and there was a ship on top of it, and it's coming toward them. And they said, oh, this is because we have made the God of the Christians angry because how we've treated them. His people. They recognized there was an anger because of the treatment of Christians. And they cried out to the God of the Christians. Now you hear me. Everything in that whole village was leveled to the ground except the house those Muslim women were in praying to the God of the Christians. What about that? Now, my point is that the tsunami was terrible. But there was Muslims that were reached with Christian message and Christian love by the hundreds of thousands and even millions that would have never, ever been reached had it not been for a terrible tragedy like that taking place. I can take you to other incidents very quickly and just tell you, Haiti is another example. Now, you guys know this. This is a fact. Haiti was steeped in voodoo. And do you know that since Haiti has had that earthquake, Christians have risen up over there and shut down some of those voodoo places and blamed it on them and said, you stirred up all these demons and you stirred up all these spirits over here. And that's the cause. And some of the voodoo doctors for months and months wouldn't even practice voodoo again because they were in fear. Now, I'm saying that God has allowed Christians to go in there and undergird those people and help those people. And even the terrible thing that happened with Katrina, you would be surprised how many places I go preach, Louisville, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and there are families living there now who've said to me, you know, the tsunami, Katrina was awful. We went through hell. And they have said to me, I've not had one, you listen to me, I've not had one say anything the opposite than what I'm telling you. They all say, but you know, looking back on it, we're thankful to God. Our children were down there in the middle of all that sin and all that mess. Now they go to a Christian school. Now we live in a Christian area. Now we have a great church to go to. Are you listening? Now, not that it was good for everybody and not that everybody went that way, but the point is thousands and thousands of young people, kids, that would have never had hope, come on, talk to me, to go to college or do a university, now have Christian people in churches who love them, who care for them, who are taking care of them and going to ensure. Oh, here's what I'm going to say to you. It's like when Joseph saw his brothers in Egypt and he said, what you meant for my evil, God meant for my good. Lord have mercy. See, so at this moment, there's no way of me looking to you and telling you where this goes or what the outcome will be, for the Lord never showed me that. But there are some things He wants me to tell you, three important things. Number one, and this is important, all through the Bible, it makes it very clear that when you come to the time of the end, the number one thing you're going to need, is everybody ready for this? Is patience. Oh, let me say it again. It went over like a lead balloon. Yeah, you were ready for a big revelation. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Patience means to put up with a long time and to be long-spirited. Luke 21:19 says, in your patience possess your soul. That means you control your mind through your patience. Your mind doesn't go crazy. Your mind doesn't wander. Your mind don't get wiggy on you. That through your patience, you learn how to take possession of your thought life. Romans 5:4-3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. I just want to tell you that years ago, I prayed that God would give me patience, and I'll never pray that prayer again. Because when I start saying, God, give me patience, I start having the worst days that you could imagine, where everything that could go wrong went wrong, and everybody got on my last nerve, and nothing was working out. And I said, God, I don't understand. We're going the week of hell. He said, patience, son. So I don't ever ask people to pray for it. But you have to understand that in the last days we're going to need it. James 1:4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now I want you to think about three great men of God in the next minute, just for a moment. Noah lost everything he had, lived in a floating zoo. Now folks, that zoo had doors that were closed for 150 days. Talk to me, somebody. I don't even want to know what the smell was like. Rains for 40 days and 40 nights. He's got to ride it out. And then if you'll check out your Bible, the rain is over. Instead of getting off the ark, he's got to stay on the boat with those animals another 40 days. That's patience. And he knew that God had spared his. He was so appreciative that his family was still with him, that he said, I'll put up with a bunch of stinking animals if my family can survive this. You see? So in other words, it was bad, but his patience brought him through, and they repopulated the earth. The second man is the story of Lot in Genesis chapter 19. Now think about this. This guy has sons and daughters living in Sodom. He warns them to get out, and they don't listen. So we don't know how many. The scholars say there was probably 3 sons-in-laws and 3 daughters, making a total of 6. 4 came out because Abraham said, if you find 10, will you spare the city? That's why they calculate that there were 6 that died. Now think about this. So you got part of your family perishing because they didn't listen. Then as you're leaving, your wife gets caught in the line of fire and you lose her. And guess where you end up? You've lost your home. You've lost your wife. You've lost your kids, your daughters and their son-in-laws. You've got 2 daughters that are still living. And guess where you're living? Read it in your Bible. In a cave. But did you know that despite the terrible thing Lot went through and the terrible incident with his 2 daughters, did you know they today are the inhabitants of the country of Jordan? The descendants of Moab and Edom are the country of Jordan, the Jordanian people today. They formed a nation out of that, came out of it. Are you listening? Came out of a cave. Talk to me, somebody. Came out of a cave and helped form a nation on the other side of the Jordan River. Think about Job. This is very important. Someone hear this. Job not only loses their home, Job loses 10 kids through a storm. Not only does he lose 10 kids, he loses his camels, his donkeys, his oxen. All of his entire business is wiped out. That was his business. That's how he made his wealth. His wealth is gone. His 10 kids are gone. Their homes are gone. And then he gets struck with a disease that in the book of Job, he says he's picking skin worms out of his body. Pottery, taking pottery and breaking the pus and pulling the worm out. And he says, my breath is so bad, nobody wants to get near me. Now that's bad. That's bad. But you know what happened? Go to the end. Go to the end. And it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends and blessed him with twice as much in the end as he had in the beginning. When you're dealing with this kind of thing, you can't just live in the present. You've got to think long term. Because James said, you have seen the end of the Lord. How he is of tender mercy. And you've heard of the patience of Job. Job had was long-spirited. He knew in Job 28 that God promised him, I'll give you plenty of gold and plenty of silver if you'll decree a thing. So in the middle of having lost everything, he said, I'm going to start praying for the reversal. I'm going to start praying right now. And it was months. You read it. Even scholars will tell you it was months and months before he ever got his breakthrough. But the Bible tells us that when he prayed for his friends and he did what God told him to do, God turned his captivity and brought in twice as much in the end as he had in the beginning. Is anybody listening to this? So the first thing you have to understand is there is a patience factor. You have to say to God, God, I don't know if I can take much more of this, but I'm asking you, help me to be long-spirited. Help me to see that this is not going to go on forever. Help me to see that in the end, something good will come out of this because we are your people. And just like you brought your people out of Egyptian bondage, you brought them with gold and silver and they built the tabernacle. Somewhere, somehow, some way, you are going to give me a plan and show me what to do. The second thing is this, and I want you to understand this. Psalms 37 23, one of my favorite passages. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And the word ordered in Hebrew means, listen to this, is to erect or to set up. In other words, he sets up your steps. Now, this is what's weird. Your life is a setup. That's what it means. He orders your steps. He sets your steps up. You know what it means? You walk in the coffee shop and you meet the guy who needs. Let me tell you a quick story. Lord, this just came to me. Guy came to my dad in Florida and said, Brother Stone, I've lost my job. I've totally lost my job completely. What am I going to do? He worked at a gas station. He said, why'd you lose your job? He said, because the owner wanted me to steal cash money, stick it in my pocket and give it to him at the end of the day. And I told him I wasn't going to do it, that I was an honest man. And he fired me. Dad said, well, let's just pray. My dad lays hands on the man and the Lord speaks and says, now, this is what my dad said. He said, now, brother, tomorrow, get a suit on. The Lord told me to tell you to go two exits up. There'll be a gas station over on the left, not the first one, but the second one. He said, go in there. He said, fill your car up with gas, and there'll be a man in there, and that man's going to talk to you about a job. He said, Brother Stone, are you serious? He said, I wouldn't be telling you if I wasn't serious. He said, I'm telling you, my dad can pray in tongues and then interpret it back exactly what the Lord said. Never seen nobody like him. He's an alien. No, he's not human. I mean, I've been around him a few times. I said, he's an alien guy. He's got to be. This is just really heavy, okay? It's crazy. He can do it. He prayed in tongues, and this is what God told him. So the guy gets 8 o'clock, you know, about 8 o'clock that morning, puts his suit on my office. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to find me a job. She said, well, good luck. He said, I'll get one. Just watch. I'll come back with one. And then he goes two exits up, and he's pumping, you know, putting the gas in. Well, the guy's in there working at the owner, working at the cash register. And he walked in and said, I'm telling you what. Thieves and robbers. He said, sir, what happened? He said, well, I had a guy working for me for years and found out he's been stealing all my money. And the guy said, well, that's funny. I just got fired for not stealing money. He looked and said, who are you? He said, well, I work at a station down here. And the man wanted me to put money in my pocket, but I'm a Christian man, and I'd never do that. He said, you need a job? He said, I do. He said, when can you come to work? He said, right now. Footsteps of good people who love the Lord, who in covenant are ordered. God will set you up. Honey, you remember that time Pam was working in the office? I said, get in the van. We got to go. We got to go. And I said, she said, where are we going? I said, I don't know, but God said go. So she puts everything in, puts the baby Jonathan in the car. We're driving. And I had been looking for property for weeks and drove to a part of town where I've never been. Didn't even know that part of town existed. Take a left on a road, and there is a property for sale, and it happens to be for sale, and the guy that's selling it happens to be the brother of a guy on my board of directors. Well, to make a long story short, I got two ministry center buildings there now, and that's where VOE has been for over 12 years. Is anybody understanding me now? God will order you to the right people at the right place at the right time. Every morning when I get up, I say, God, I want the will of God done today. I don't want to go. If I'm supposed to eat here to meet somebody, don't let me eat over here. I'm serious. That's how important this is. If I'm supposed to get gas at that station because I'm going to meet somebody I need to meet, then don't let me go. You got to follow the nudges. I'm talking to somebody here. And the urges that you get inside of your spirit that's driving you. Honey, we got to do this. We just got to go. Get in the car. Let's go. You don't always know why, but God does. Look at your neighbor and say, it can be a setup. And every day you pray, God, Your will be done for me on earth the way you have it set up in heaven. And number three, and this is where I want to get to this here. I noticed this. I had left this out when telling it, not purposely. But when we got to the fifth tornado, it got pretty bad. I'm going to be very honest with you. It got pretty bad. It started really affecting things. And I told my staff in that fifth tornado, when I saw Pam, I suddenly see my staff together at my office. And I said to them, and I typed this out, I suddenly realized that the storm had picked up everyone that was in the same room. And we began to pray in unison for God's protection. God's protection. And I remember then saying, everybody needs to pray for God to go with us and be with us and to protect us. Now, protection doesn't mean necessarily protection like you're going to die. There's all kinds of forms of protection God gives. But I remember my staff was kind of like, oh, Lord, we ask you. And I said, no, I was screaming at him. I said, you're not praying. Pray. The fifth tornado got extended to the point where the building we were in got lifted up off its foundation. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, what is happening now? And it's moving down the road. And as I'm looking, I don't see any activity on the streets. I see no activity on the road. I see just emptiness. And that's when the prayer changed. And this is why, if I didn't come to Baton Rouge, but for any other reason, to teach you what the Lord told me that day. My prayer at that moment, this is the quote. My prayer changed, this is on the paper, from protection to a command. You prince of the power of the air, I command you to stop this. You must put this down in a safe place. And here's how I ended it. I felt we would land safely, but we needed as a group to ride out the fifth and final twister. Patience. But at the same time, we could all complain, but what we all have to do is realize that some of these things that happen, even though it's natural, even though it's a man-made thing, we have to understand that the enemy sometimes moves into situations and he begins to expand it and stretch it and make it worse. And I think there's a reason why God had me praying and commanded the prince of the air, who is Satan, to stop his foolishness with what he was trying to do and put that thing back in order. And so tonight, right now, I feel led in my spirit that we need to pray for what's going on. And we need to pray that prayer right there. Would you stand with me? I want you to put your Bibles aside for a moment. Hallelujah. And I want everybody to do this together. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand. All the saved folks. Keep your hand up. I do believe on a Wednesday night, most folks that are going to come into this place are going to be born again. Something told me that was going to happen. Are you ready? Now, here's what we're going to pray. I want us to specifically pray that, God, you see what's happening off this Gulf Coast. You showed Brother Perry what was going to happen. But, God, now we're going to pray and go into the spirit realm, not just tonight, that God will solve this and that the power of the enemy that would like, come on, how many know the enemy would like to split the country up over it? I mean, I'm telling you, the devil gets in stuff and it starts getting crazy. People start treating each other crazy. That's what we got to pray against. Raise your hands with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you sent me to this church today, God, because of what happened in those visions. Pastor Dino was an integral part of being a part of whatever the recovery was and understanding what was taking place. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that at this moment, there is not an end at this moment to this. We know that at this moment, as we're even praying, that there's no specific end at this moment to what we can say, this is how it's going to happen, that's how it's going to happen. But Lord, you did show us, oh my, in that vision that night, that the very last thing that we started doing was praying. Now, God, we pray for the protection of people, the protection of their health and their finances. Oh, there you go. Come on. Oh, I just felt that. Oh, that's part of it. God, protection of health. people that are on the Gulf Coast need protection. They need their health protected, Father. Yes, 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 yes. We pray, God, protection, especially those that have a covenant with you, that in the name of Jesus that you'll protect them, Father. And God, we also know that the enemy in his realm where he works, he likes to use circumstances and he likes to use things to try to destroy and to disrupt. But in the name of Jesus Christ right now, I implore you, God, to hear the prayers of the people from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. God, we come against the prince of the power of the air in Jesus' name. Lord, this demonic prince, this power that would try to use the circumstances and even try to create atmospheric storms to bring disruption. Lord, we have power on earth to take authority over all the powers of the enemy. Not in our name, but in the name of Jesus. So right now, we pray in the name of Jesus that God, the prince of the air, will put things back the way they were. He can't touch it. He can't mess it up any further. But he's got to put a halt on it in Jesus' name. He's got to put a stop. Whatever the enemy would try to do, whatever the devil would try to do in the midst of this, whether it's affect churches or ministries or people, whatever it is that he plans, God, I want you to abort the plan of the enemy. Let only the will of God be done. Hey, let only the plan of God be done. Let only God bring something out of this that people will know that God is our helper and God is our strength and God is our source. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. God, we believe that if we pray, that prayer can turn something around. Prayer can stop things. Prayer can change things. And God, on behalf of the many, many men and women and the many, many believers that are in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and all through that panhandle of Florida, Lord, you know everything. You have all things planned. We don't understand everything, but we're asking you, God, to teach us to be obedient to your Spirit, because prayer can change things and turn it around in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh. Oh, my. Now, I want to say that you that have the Holy Spirit, it's important. Driving to work, driving home, sitting on the back of the chair in the evening. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Put this in your mind. Put what I said in your mind and begin to pray in the Spirit, because whatever this is, it stretches to a spiritual battle. Does that make sense? And so we don't know the end, but always remember, God will order your steps where they're supposed to be. He ordered you here tonight. And I want to give you that word. Brother, come on up real quick, if you'll please. I want to give you that word. Now, before we do anything, put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder and just pray for them right now. Father, I pray for every person now, any person that needs Jesus, Lord, any person that needs to come to the Lord right now, any person that's away from God, I want you to touch their heart. Lord, I can see their faces all over this place, that there are people, God, you're touching right now. There are people that have been away from you. There's people who've been cold in their spirit, Lord. And right now, in Jesus' name, I believe you're touching them. I believe your Spirit is touching them. I believe your power is touching them now in Jesus' name. If there's anybody that needs to repent of your sin, if there's anything you need to get out before God, do it right now while I'm praying, okay? Do it right now. Father, if there's anyone that has any sin in their life, anything that they know is a hindrance between them and you, I'm asking you, God, to touch them right now. Loose them in the name of Jesus from any bondage that they're under. Give them a walk of faith where they're going to begin to walk with God and walk by faith. They're going to be led by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Lord, stir up the gift of the Spirit that's in every person here. Stir up the gift of the Spirit that's in every person here. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org. Or give us a call at 225-753-2273.